I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, Nobel Peace Prize laureate Wangari Maathai is with us on the political situation in Kenya and why progress on climate change matters most to the developing world. But first, we want to start our program with two conversations about the West African nation of Guinea, and we want to warn you that the details are disturbing. Guinea is a small country with a long history of military rule. It does not often attract the attention of the world. But a recent crackdown on opposition protesters has drawn vehement international condemnation. Why? Because there are cell phone pictures of members of the Presidential Guard publicly raping and humiliating opposition protesters in Guinea's capital of Conakry. A human rights organization there says the death toll is 157. The government says that fewer than 60 people died and attributes the deaths to trampling. In a moment, we'll talk to New York Times correspondent Adam Nossiter, who received and published the images we're talking about. But first, though, we want to hear the latest news from NPR's West Africa correspondent Ophébia Quist-Arkton. Ophébia, thank you for joining us.
Greetings. Hello from Conakry, which is a little common these days.
Ophébia, I want to start by playing a clip of comments made yesterday by U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton about the events there. Here it is.
We were appalled and outraged by the recent violence in Guinea, the indiscriminate killing and raping that took place under government control by government troops was a vile violation of the rights of the people of that country.
And, of course, Secretary Clinton's comments have followed equally sharp criticism from the French foreign minister. If you'd just set the table for us, how did this event start? What set it in motion?
I'm going to have to roll back the clock a bit to December last year, 2008, after the death of Guinea's longtime military ruler, General Lansana Conte. Everybody knew that when he finally went, because he's been ill for years now, that the transition in Guinea was going to be rough. But nobody knew that there would be a military coup within hours of his death. The person who swept to power is 40-something Captain Moussa Dadis Camara. Obviously another military officer. And Guinea has been under military rule for almost all its 51 years, or else under a dictatorship. Captain Camara was actually warmly welcomed when he came to power. Guineans thought it would be a new era, a new beginning, that he would usher in democracy, rigor. He said he was going to fight drug trafficking and corruption. And then, crucially, Michelle, he said he was not going to seek elected office, that he was not going to run for president when elections happened. But in the months since then, although he hasn't come out and said point blank that he wants to be president and that he will stand in elections, that is exactly what he has been hinting. And the opposition rally last week, Monday, was in protest at these rumors that Dadis Camara was going to run for office.
Tell us what happened at this stadium where these atrocities took place. There was an opposition rally, and then what happened?
So at this opposition rally, about 50,000 opposition leaders, and, you know, really the prominent opposition leaders here in Guinea, and then supporters who wanted to say no to the military ruler, gathered in the stadium. And it wasn't a street protest or a march, as we've seen in Guinea in the past, in 2007 when there was this general strike. It was people meeting in the stadium when this happened. Listen.
Ophébia, so in addition to hearing this recording of the shots actually being fired, as I mentioned, there's also photographic evidence of atrocities against women being committed in real time by, one assumes, citizens who captured these images. What is the military leadership saying about all this?
As you said, the military fired on the people, on civilians, because there was a stampede and that they got crushed underfoot. I mean, that argument has sort of been dropped in recent days, but that was what they were saying at the beginning. But opposition leaders, even, not just ordinary Guineans, opposition leaders were beaten up. Some had their ribs broken. Some are still wearing bandages on their head. So imagine what happened to ordinary Guineans. We were told, apart from the people who were killed, and they were killed by gunfire and apparently by bayonets used by, we're told, the Presidential Guard, the Red Berets, as they're called here. But I think what has shocked Guineans most, and what Secretary Clinton also mentioned, is that women were not only raped, but were raped in public. They had their clothes stripped off them, their dignity stripped off them, right there in the stadium and slightly away from the stadium. That is what so many Guineans are talking about. They feel that it is so sorrowful and that it means their country is on the skids, that the soldiers have shot at them before, have fired on them before, but this public rape of women is what has really captured the public's imagination. And Guineans are very, very, very worried about that.
But what is Captain Kamara saying about this? Is he responding at all to this evidence?
You know, his health minister said, well, women have not turned up at the hospital to say they've been raped. Of course they're not. This is a Muslim country. Who's going to just show up at hospital and say, soldiers raped me? People are being treated in their homes, in the private of the people they know. But Captain Kamara, and he does behave a little erratically sometimes, but he's sort of talking now saying, I don't know whether I'm going to stand or not. Lots of people in Guinea say, it's Dadis or no one. Other people say Dadis must go. I need to weigh up my options. But he realizes that it's not only Guineans who are treating the military government and what's happened with opprobrium, that it's also the United States, a former colonial power, France, other Western and other governments, the African Union, the United Nations, ECOWAS, the Economic Community of West African States, saying this cannot happen. And the region has sent a mediator, the president of Burkina Faso, to try to bring stability and order, or to help bring stability and order to Guinea. But the opposition leaders are saying not until those who fired on civilians and raped women have been arrested and brought to justice.
Ophébia Quist-Acton is NPR's West Africa correspondent. She joined us from Guinea's capital of Conakry. Ophébia, thank you.
Thank you.